Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'atotep, to everyone. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it's always wonderful to be here with you. If you're in the Philadelphia area, you probably are experiencing quite a bit of rain. It seems like it just came from nowhere, but it's a very beautiful thing. It seems like there's some kind of calmness in this rain and this kind of smell in this rain. So we're very thankful for what we're hearing and feeling as a result of, what some call the showers. And, you know, a lot of times it's said that the rain can be a cleansing effect. Well, I certainly feel that for today. At any rate, we want to thank all of you for tuning in to this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And before we begin the program tonight, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator. And certainly we are very, very inspired and appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Well, tonight we are going to continue part two of our salute to none other than Queen Mother Moore. And we're going to have joining us a little later on another blog show. We're going to kind of connect them tonight so that we can broaden our scope in terms of our audience reaching out tonight to talk about the idea of what some call economics. So we're going to connect some dots tonight. And with that said, we're going to talk about, of course, Queen Mother Moore, her contribution to the African Liberation Movement, and certainly her legacy. How must we continue the legacy of Queen Mother Audrey Moore? Today, we were able to do a presentation over at the Songhai City Cultural Center. We sent some very warm appreciation and special thanks out to the family over there, of course, Brother Al Austin, who is just an incredible, incredible brother, really fighting to make certain that we have somewhere to present information and can do it in the way that we want to do it. It's not a controlled environment to the degree where, we have to be careful about what we say and so forth, beyond a certain point. We're always respectful, of course, but we are able to be truly, right to the point and certainly African-centered, African-minded. So we had a session today. We're going to do two more, one next Saturday and then, of course, the following Saturday, which will be, I believe, August the 11th. And the whole idea is to now move forward to do the work that we know we must do, but now to kind of step it up a little bit, because other people certainly are. Now, one of the topics we covered today was dealing with the fact that here in Pennsylvania, starting August the 1st, general assistance cuts go into effect. This is going to have a devastation on a lot of families. It's going to put a greater burden on a lot of Black families, especially, of course, those who we have mothers who and sisters, of course, who is getting this I call it a stipend, really, but that are getting these monies, and of course that's going to be stopped. And again, we talked today about it's the way this is being done, with no notification for the most part. When they go to get the monies, it just won't be there, and of course, then you have to call and make an appointment or do whatever. But the bottom line is, it puts people in more of a crisis mode. We're already in a crisis mode, needless to say, but it puts folks in a more of a kind of urgency or what have you, and it's designed that way. So we talked about that a little today and also about what we can begin to do to address the void that we know is coming, to address the other kinds of behavior that we know is going to stem from that, and so forth and so on. And certainly how we're going to respond to the system. It is not our intention, and when I say our, it is not the Mean Woman Movement's intention to, really put up such a big hoopla beyond a certain point. Our main objective, of course, is to be independent, is to be self-sufficient, is to be as much self-determined as possible. But at the same time, there's some things that you still have to respond to because sometimes it is a matter of principle. So the question was raised today, well, what is it that we are going to do in addressing the situation? And my response, of course, was, well, we're not going to be reactionary. We're not going to just, you know, just do some rallying and this and that. I mean, and don't get me wrong, of course, some of that will occur. But for real, we're looking at how to bring about jobs, for lack of a better word, how to bring about self-employment, let's put it that way, for our people, for our sisters in particular at this time. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on tonight when around 11 o'clock, Brother Ramasuth is going to be joining us along with his radio program, Legacy of the Nation. So we're going to have two programs going on tonight simultaneously. And again, around that 11 o'clock hour, we're going to focus a bit more on what some people call economics. Now, certainly for me, I really kind of see economics very differently from what most may. And I think after we had the conversation tonight, you'll kind of understand why I feel that way. And also why I feel that as a people, especially in the U.S., it's not as productive as we would like for it to be. And my theory is, or my assumption is, that it's because what we think economics is, it really isn't. So we're striving to do something with something that really doesn't have the capabilities of doing what we would like for it to do because that's not what it is in the first place. It may sound a bit confusing, but I'm sure by the end of the show, we will have straightened some of that out for you. But the bottom line is there is a necessity for some new kinds of thinking or some other types of concepts in some of this, and certainly we're prepared to begin to bring that forward as well. So, with that said, very shortly we're going to have joining us our Queen Mother, Dr. Dolores Blakely, who, of course, is also the community mayor in Harlem, but perhaps known more so for the fact that she was indeed the confidant, the very close sister to our own Queen Mother Moore, who, again, is who we salute tonight. Her Earth Day was yesterday. Queen Mother, of course, passed in, actually, I think it was May the 2nd in 1997. I remember because we had really hoped that she would have been able to come to the Million Woman March, which was October of 1997, but unfortunately she was, you know, she had already made transition. I did not have the opportunity to see her or meet with her prior, but I did have the opportunity to go to the Going Home services. We're going to talk a little bit about that, too, because one of the things that the Million Woman Movement is going to announce in October is some of what we really have been working on over these past few years. And one of those things is, of course, to do a little better with our elders. You know, we've had too many situations where our great, great elders, those who, I mean, did incredible work, and I've seen this with my own eyes, reach a certain age and have nowhere to go, have no one to really take care of them, get ill, oftentimes, you know, don't have the means to take care of the illness, and so forth and so on. Queen Mother ended up being in a nursing home. Why? You know, so these are some of the things that once we see, I remember one of our elders who I did get the opportunity to sit with and reason with and to have her to give me some consultation, and that was none other than Empress Nina Simone. And I was a very young student in college. I had the opportunity to meet her and to interview her. And something that she said I will never forget, and I use it as a part of some of the things that I do today and have been doing over the years. Something that she said has always stuck with me, and it is, once you know, you can never not know again. And so I say that to say that having seen that Queen Mother Moore, for example, was in a nursing home and that did not receive the type of care that she certainly deserved. Having seen Kwame Ture, Baba Kwame Ture, and having sat and talked with him during his illness, and you know, just so many others, you know, knowing that we don't have a place for them, meaning African people, black folks in the U.S., we don't have a place for many of our people. Those are those who really get out here in the trenches, those who really deal with real hardcore struggle, and we've got to correct that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. And again, Queen Mother Dr. Doris Blakely will be joining us to really give us some insight into some of the real history and legacy of Queen Mother Moore, a sister, a queen, a black woman, an African woman who, I dare say, if it had not been for her, the notion, the idea, the work regarding reparations, I could be wrong, but again, this is just how I see it. It wouldn't be happening, not today, not the way it is presently, because she in the 1950s was in the UN declaring reparations, demanding reparations, and saying that our people were owed, I think it was something like $200 billion, and that was in the 50s, okay? And so we could find somebody else that was in the 1950s talking about reparations for our people as a result of enslavement, as a result of labor, then I'd like to know who that was. Now, of course, there were others who talked about reparations, of course, but I'm saying to go as far into international waters, to go into international circles, and I don't mean to do it once. I don't mean to do it, you know, a couple of times. I mean to make this your life's work. That was Queen Mother Moore. So here we are today, family, and again, we hail up our Queen Mother Moore. We encourage all of you to examine her work and her legacy and to share it, to talk about it, to disseminate the information so that we do justice, we do honor to her, to our ancestors. And that's one of the things, again, we will talk about more tonight. Today was a very good session. We feel that it really was an excellent start for a series, a community series that we have started, and we're moving in the right direction with making certain that our women now have the ability and the opportunity to join something that is going to be consistent, because we've proven it, is going to strive for longevity, because we've proved it, and that it's not going to be a sellout, and we certainly have proved that. And we're talking about the Universal Million Woman Movement. So, again, we'll give you more information about that, too, and how you can get involved, how you should get involved. You know, our sisters are known undoubtedly, unquestionably, for doing so much in our communities nationwide, worldwide. We have been a part of every movement that has affected our people, every whatever you want to call it, be it not a movement, an organization, you name it, we have been in it. We have been and have vital, very important roles in it. But has there been something specifically for our women? And the answer is yes. But the question that also goes with that is, doing what? And for who? Now, there is a very interesting question, and we covered a little of that today as well. And again, this is why the Million Woman Movement now exists, so that we can do this work as sisters, as women, again, from the grassroots through the glass ceiling. That means it encompasses all classes, all religions, all political, you know, arenas and so forth and so on. Has that happened before? No, not at least in contemporary times. So this is why we encourage all of our sisters now to please get involved. Be a part of not only history that has been, but history in the making. And again, I'm going to give you more information about that. Now, before we get Queen Mother on, what we want to do is share the thought for today. Now, two things have developed for our radio program, and that is we're going to start giving you some thoughts for the day, but also we determined that each month we're going to pay tribute to a or several black women, and it will be based on that month being their Earth Month, or, you know, that's the month that they were born and what we call their Earth Day. So, again, this week, this month, we pay tribute and salute to, of course, as we said, as I said earlier, Queen Mother Moore, but also Sister Sada Shakur and also Mother Bea Richards. And for those who are not familiar with Mother Bea Richards, you need to really check her out because she was sort of known in the movie industry or whatever you want to call it, but she was also very active in some very political struggles. And so that's a side that was not, you know, really shown or told. So when you get the opportunity, Google her. A young sister actress, did a documentary on Mother Bea Richards, and it was called A Black Woman Speaks. And when you hear of some of the things that Sister Bea Richards, Mother Bea Richards did, you're going to be a little surprised, I think. But this, again, is not surprising in a way, but the fact that a lot of our women, our work, our contributions kind of get pushed to the side, and we're going to make sure that that no longer is able to happen, at least not as easily. So again, the threes for this month has been Queen Mother Moore, of course, July 27th was her Earth Day. Sister Sada Shakur, who is still exiled in Cuba and presently is safe, and we do everything possible to keep her that way, so we say hands off with Sada. And her Earth Day, of course, was July 16th. And then Mother Bea Richards, her Earth Day is July the 12th. Okay, so that was our three for this month. All right, before we go into our live dialogue, we're going to share a thought with you for today. And that thought is, you know, in seeing how things are happening, how people are responding and not responding to situations, of course, we are still looking at the fact that Marissa Alexander is still incarcerated, and there's not a whole lot of things being said about it. The mere fact that she drew her weapon and shot it up in the air, in the state of Florida, the same state where Zimmerman is now walking around freely out on bail after murdering Trayvon Martin, killing him, but yet Marissa Alexander shot a weapon up in the air, killing no one, hurting no one, and she's looking at 20 years. So why is it that we heard about it for a minute, but we're not hearing much about it now? And this is what's happening and what we see going on all over the country, and that is that you hear about something for a while, but unless it gets like a, you know, certain kind of sanctioning by, you know, some of the so-called civil rights leaders or something like that, then you're not going to hear much about it anymore. So it seems like what we've kind of become is what I think if Fela Kuti was around, I think he would kind of give it a name. And this is our thought for today. We are amongst now people who are walking around, and, you know, unfortunately, they're walking around in a state of what one might call unconsciousness. And so, well, perhaps they have become what one might call zombie. And so, yeah, we're going to hear something from Fela Kuti. Africa 70 is still relevant today. Thank you.
ammunition on his fellow men. He kills members of his men, women, and babies, and walks towards him. It need not be said that he's a man, for that is often assumed. And while events such as these occasionally occur in other lands, as in Norway a year ago, they're most often an American feature. Now, Aurora, Colorado joins the parade death of Columbine, of Virginia Tech, and other points of massacre. According to police accounts, the accused had his hair colored red and called himself the Joker, a mad villainous character from the comic book named movie series figure Batman. The Joker played a justice. How utterly American. There is something dark and foreboding in the American spirit, a lust for violence that is not conceived by the genocide of Indian tribes, nor centuries of the terrorism waged against Africa, nor the numerous wars abroad. It is in our religious head, our national anthem, our entertainment, and in our cycle. War, violence, death, destruction. It is in our imperial foreign policy and in our domestic policy as well. And now, like a tennis championship title, a new name is etched on the memory of millions of Americans. Aurora, Colorado, 12:59. We're number one. Up here. From the presentation, this is more a boom job. Each company.
Jobs in the U.S. and their exports abroad in search of cheap labor.
you know, places like China, jobs is just a cynical cry and a political whoop. It is sound and faux fury signifies nothing. For jobs without a living, growing wage is but toil without adequate return. Whenever the next politician mentions jobs, you yell, NAFTA. That'll shut them up. But who knows? You might spark a real discussion on jobs and the NAFTA effect. Maybe. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These companies
indeed. Yep, that's what's going on, family. And of course, we were hearing some of the latest commentaries from none other than Mumia Abu-Jamal. Of course, him commentating or commenting on the situation that just recently happened. And if that wasn't some zombie or what is known as zombie stuff, I don't know what was. But again, you know, that's a conversation for another night, not for tonight. At any rate, we hope you enjoyed those two commentaries by Mumia Abu-Jamal. And needless to say that the struggle, of course, continues for the total release of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And, well, as we say, a lucha continue, brother. Struggle does indeed continue. And while Mumia is, of course, in general population, and as you know, that didn't happen just because they wanted him to be, but because of the continual fight, the continual struggle to assure that he would be. And as you can see, he has not missed a beat, never has, and I'm sure never will. He continues to put out the information and to, you know, raise the awareness of our people, and so we are indeed very thankful for that. Okay, we are waiting for Brother Ramesses to connect with us. It is the 11 o'clock hour, and for some reason, Queen Mother has not checked in yet. I know she said she would be going somewhere earlier today. They had some activities over at the UN, and, you know, that is what she's always into doing. So there may have been, you know, some holdup or some activities that may have held her up, rather, as a result of her not calling in so far. So hopefully she will soon. And if so, we will try to patch her in. Now, in the meantime, we again are, in fact, waiting for Brother Ramesses from the Legacy of the Nation to connect with us, because it was our intention today to do a dialogue about what some call economics. And we want to kind of tie in the relationship between economics and Queen of the Moor. And, of course, well, needless to say, since, in fact, Queen of the Moor talked about, not just talked about, but was very diligent in dealing with the issue of reparations, certainly one might consider that being a form of economics. So we're going to tie in this tribute to Queen Mother Moore with, in fact, the idea of what some call economics. I see that Brother Ramesses is now ready, and so we're going to join him with the Legacy of the Nation, of course, you know, in building our international, and this is international. Our network is an international network of dialogue, of power talking, of action, hopefully, but certainly we are now able to connect with one another in a very wonderful way to share this transformation. And so, again, we're going to focus a little on the idea of economics. What does that mean to you? Not just what does that mean to you, but what should we really be doing in this thing called economics? And again, before we bring in Brother Ramesses and the Legacy of the Nation, I just want to say that I really think we're really off track with this whole idea. I think this was something that is said, but for the most part, it really isn't what it is projected to be. And so while we talk about economic development, for the most part, we know that that doesn't happen, at least not in the black community. But the question is also, why? Is it because we're not supporting each other financially or economically, as some say? Is it because of there being, you know, little monies available? Or what is the reason? But could it also be that the whole notion of economics and the way that we are dealing with it, it is almost impossible to produce what we would think, because that's not what it really is. But that's just my opinion. Let's go to our live line. And joining us is going to be Brother Ramesses and the family from the Legacy of the Nation. All right, Brother Ramesses, are you there?
Okay, greetings. I have you in the chat room. Brother Maurice White is finishing his rendition, and I will bring you in. I can put you into the program so you can hear Brother Maurice White, and you will be able to hear me bring you in at the same time. All right?
Okay, now you're saying Maurice White. I'm not familiar with him. Who is that?
He's my Monday Night Entrepreneur specialist.
Okay.
And he's talking right now on economics. I'll bring you to the program so you can hear. All right?
Okay. Very good.
Go to the church. If you can't go to the church and ask them to do things, calling their names and saying that they're stupid, work with them in whatever capacity you can work with them. If you can't work with them, work with somebody else. The bottom line is, we need to do more work in our community for ourselves.
Okay, and 7 o'clock, and we have Empress Filet with us. What we're going to do is go to our message, and then we're going to bring Empress Filet in and her rendition of economics. One moment, please.
You're listening to the Legacy of a Nation radio program, heard 7 days a week on Blog Talk Radio. This program is brought to you in kind by the following supporters: Atia Ola's Cafe, vegan, vegetarian, and raw food, located at 4505 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Call 215-939-3298 for daily specials. The Lest We Forget Slavery Museum and Traveling Exhibit, located at 365 Richmond Street in Philadelphia. Call 215-205-4324. Self-Determination Saturdays at the Songhai City Cultural Center. Arts, culture, lectures, vendors, and food. Visit songhaicity.net or call 215-236-0782. Affordable webmercials for small businesses. Search for us on Facebook. Promote your product, business, or event with an affordable webmercial starting as low as $125. Call 888-532-6099. That's 888-532-6099. Bug Plus All Natural Contact Spray. Get rid of those pests. Use responsibly and enjoy a bug-free home. Search for Bug Plus on Facebook. Email bug.plus@yahoo.com or call 267-444-7938. Become a sponsor of the Legacy of a Nation radio program by emailing Brother Ramesses at legacyofanation@yahoo.com or by searching for Legacy of a Nation on Facebook. Now back to the Legacy of a Nation radio program.
Greetings and welcome, Empress Filet from It's a New Day.
Greetings,
Empress. Can you hear me?
Yep, my hotel.
Right. All right. Come on in and listen. We've already 3/4 in the way. I know you missed a lot, so don't listen. Just come in from your definition of economics or the definition that we need as a nation to economics. But please state the position that we need today.
All right. Well, give thanks, my brother. And again, Ma'at Hotep to the Legacy of the Nation family. And we've now linked our programs together. We have also our New Day Resurrection and Liberation family tuning in as well.
This is a wonderful topic, of course, because we need to begin to do not only more, but to, I think we need clarity. Now, I did hear a little bit of what was being said, and I'm really in agreement. I think that there has to be some different or some other types of approaches to certain things, and this idea of economics is one. I don't necessarily deal with what one may call a definition per se, because we know that this language is a bit what ambiguous often, but I think that to have concepts is a bit more not only scientific but realistic, and certainly we have to begin, when we talk about, for lack of a better word, economics, we have to also begin to think mathematically, since it does deal oftentimes with numbers. Well, my position is that while we interchange these words for the sake of conversation and communication, I think it behooves us to really know, or at least begin to think about, that the view or the idea of economics as most of us internalize it is not what that is. Now, when you study it in school, of course, it focuses greatly on the science of what one might call goods and services, the management of goods and services. It also looks at the different trends and other kinds of things connected with goods and services, and the increase or the decrease of it, and, you know, this and that. So it's really an analysis kind of thing. So when most people talk about economics, they tend to talk about it in such a way that, well, this is how it's going to generate money. Well, yes, it does. However, to understand it in the science that it is kind of geared to really be, to deal with economic development is not the same thing as creating financial development and wealth. You know, it does, of course, lend to that, and, of course, economics is a part of finance, but the way that I feel our people are looking at this word and its concept that's given to us, I think it's a disservice. I think it keeps us trapped in a box, because when you hear people talk about economic development, who are they really talking about? Where does that development really come in at? Usually some corporation coming in to reconstruct or to redesign a community. But when we talk about economic development, we put it in a context that was given to us for a reason. And here's the example. Years ago, they don't call it this anymore, but just to show you why I was suspect of this word after I became a little older, and it was this. When we were in school, we had home economics. The girls had home economics, and the boys, young men, had shop. The girls had home economics. Now, what does home economics have to do with economic development or economics in the context of what we are told or what we are led to believe? Hence, when have you heard Donald Trump talk about economic development? When have you heard Bill Gates talk about economic development? And if they do, they're talking about it in a context that's dealing with how they get ready to take another country over or manipulate something else. But when they're really doing business, they're talking about finance, wealth, and monetary development. They're very specific. So I dare say, I'm not saying we should not talk about economic development. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should dismiss it or anything like that. What I'm saying is we need to examine it a little closer, put it in its proper place, not hold on to it in the way that they gave it to us, because the way they gave it to us, if we keep approaching it like that, I dare say we're going to keep doing what we're seeing. They deal with generation wealth. I'm not saying we should do it like that, but what I am saying is we are a creative, dynamic people. We have to begin to come up with our own concepts, with our own analogies, with our own strategies, and with pointing things in the manner that is going to be more productive for us. That's it.
Okay. Well, listen, you took that right to the marker. Let me go to my break. let me open the line because Dr. Henderson, we want his response because he does have another obligation, so we'll be right back.
All right.
You're listening to the Legacy of a Nation radio program, heard 7 days a week on Blog Talk Radio. This program is brought to you in kind by the following supporters: Atia Ola's Cafe, vegan, vegetarian, and raw food, located at 4505 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Call 215-939-3298 for daily specials. The Less We Forget Slavery Museum and Traveling Exhibit, located at 365 Richmond Street in Philadelphia. Call 215-205-4324. Self-Determination Saturdays at the Songhai City Cultural Center. Arts, culture, lectures, vendors, and food. Visit songhaicity.net or call 215-236-0782. Affordable webmercials for small businesses. Search for us on Facebook. Promote your product, business, or event with an affordable webmercial starting as low as $125. Call 888-532-6099. That's 888-532-6099. Bug Plus All Natural Contact Spray. Get rid of those pests. Use responsibly and enjoy a bug-free home. Search for Bug Plus on Facebook. Email bug.plus@yahoo.com or call 267-444-7938. Become a sponsor of the Legacy of a Nation radio program by emailing Brother Ramesses at legacyofanation@yahoo.com or by searching for Legacy of a Nation on Facebook. Now back to the Legacy of a Nation radio program.
All right, I have to make a quick correction. Nathaniel Bracey is the one that has to leave first, and then Dr. Maurice Henderson. Nathaniel Bracey, your closing comment.
Well, I first want to thank the sister for her comments and for her observation and the astuteness of what she was saying, as well as the other two speakers on this program right now. I think it's very important that we put this in a context, the notion of economics, in a context that comes out of the black culture. And if we don't put it in a context that comes out of the black culture, then it's not going to be good for our liberation. If we're using somebody else's tool sets and it's not been modified to work according to the guidelines of our own culture, it is not going to bring us the kind of success that is bringing to another culture where those tool sets were devised for them. Let me give you another example. Historically, academically, the discipline of economics only came into existence recently in the early 20th century. Prior to that, the study of economics at academic institutions was within the Department of Moral Philosophy. And the reason why it was in the Department of Moral Philosophy, which they got from looking at the black culture way in which economics was addressed, is because we know they understood at that time that the real issue of the distribution and the production of goods and services is an ethical issue. It's not a profit financial issue. If it's just a profit and financial issue, then it's only going to be beneficial to those who are part of that particular cultural set. But when you're looking at it as an ethical issue, you're then dealing with it on a social as well as a community issue. I'll give you another example. It used to be at one time, even though it's still today, but not the same, corporations, which are a recent artificial invention, and mind you, in black economies of ancient past, which were very advanced, we did not have artificial persons doing business in the society. Everyone that was doing business, or every entrepreneur, to use the term we see here and today, was a flesh and blood person, not a corporation. But corporations in the early part of America had to get a charter to be in existence from the state government. And that charter that the state was given to these corporations, it was based on that the corporation had to prove that whatever it was doing was for the general welfare of the people. Now, that was the original stipulation for corporations to come into existence. Also, they had a specific length of time that they were going to stay in existence. They could not be in perpetuity. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But the point is that corporations were subservient to the general welfare of the people. Somewhere along the line, that has been corrupted to where now the people are subservient to the corporation. That is not part and parcel of a black cultural ethic. So I think this conversation needs to continue. It's a beautiful conversation, but I like to see it couched in the language and in the guidelines and in the roots and in the definitions that comes from a culture that started all cultures on this planet, and as a culture that is tied to all natures on this planet, and then we will have an economic system that really is being reflective of who and what we are, not only in the past, but even going forward now in the 21st century.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for your participation in the program, and you can give your contact information for When Destiny Calls and The Black Man, The Lover in You and Not the Romantic. And also, I'd like to hear from each of you if you would commit to a discussion at the Shanghai Cultural Center on this very subject and go out on your social networks to build that audience. We can do this in about 60 days.
I'm down with you, brother. You know that. So, again, my name is Nathaniel Bracey. It's been really a pleasure. My contact information is 215-878-1076. Yes, I am the author of the book When Destiny Calls, which talks about a black economy, what it is, what it looks like historically, as well as what it looks like today. I'm also the author of the book Black Man for the Lover in You, Not the Romantic, which looks at love, again, from a black culture perspective. Peace.
All right. And now let's go to Dr. Maurice Henderson, because he, too, has an obligation. All right, Dr. Maurice Henderson.
Okay, but now let me say that we would all be remiss if we did not say that this conversation was a postscript of the Million Women's March meeting today at the Shanghai Cultural Center. And
yes.
for some of us who got there late and stayed there for over 3 hours, sister, we have to say thank you very much. So that's the origin of this here conversation. Now committing to 60 days, some of us may be out of the country. I'm not going to mention no names, but some of us may be out of the country. You know, and another one of us, may be in a different city. So we may have to rethink that 60-day allowance, but sometime in the very, very, very near future. But, you know, what I wanted to comment on, and if I'm wrong, correct me, I think that a lot of times when we philosophize about knowledge and the past and history, we also have to bring it in accordance to the future. And so that was my interaction with Brother Brayson. And it's good that they gave you something about the past, but I wanted to know what he could offer us succinctly for the future. And that was just my give and take with him. And so that's why I was asking the sister today, I asked Sister Filet about in Benin if they had sand, because we all know that across the world you need sand as a part of cement, and they're building mm-hmm. each and every day. That could be an economic parity that we can use. And it's one thing that and Brother Maurice, he did explain about Tuskegee building was one of the largest outtakes for engineers. But my question became, okay, so we know that in each given day, or each given year, a black university is building a new building. Is that designed by engineer or architect? We know that each year that a new black culture center is being built or expanded. Is that being built by a black architect firm or black engineer? We know that there's increased capacity for new buildings for African American studies. Is that being built by a black architect and black engineer? So now we need to start tracking who's building what and who's doing certain things. So this is what I'd like to say. If you are a black college, don't consider building buildings unless there is a bidding pool, an accessible bidding pool, that includes a black engineer, a black architectural firm, a black construction company. Systematically. And so I can say this. I can say years ago, when I started the National Black Art Spoken Word Tour, these artists came to me and said, you know, we got to have books and CDs. There's a big event going on. So I said, where is it? And so they said, still walkers. So I go on there. I go on down there, and then I figure out that was my job to make sure that they had CDs and books to sell at Stillwalkers, because Sister Filet provided a venue for cultural arts to become a social economy. These same artists, when I started my independent institution on South Street, were the ones who did the fundraisers for us to pay for the building, you know, and to start it. And not only that, when I first started to tour National Black Arts Spoken Word Productions, when the first thing I did, and I did a production on Katrina, I made sure that our first fundraiser went to Sis Filet and the Million Women's March. And then in New York, it went to the Institute of Black World 21st Century under Dr. Ron May. And then it also went to National Black Theater. So to me, that's a way of channeling different kinds of economics. But remember, we have to start tracking. You know, and so I can track the system. I can track the system that there were so many black companies who sent black buses and black organizations that came down to the Million Women's March. That was the black economy. Now, because that it wasn't their job to keep itself going. So we can't expect for such large gatherings to keep happening without other folks committing to being a part of the economy. And so they saw it as a social movement. They didn't pick up that it was an economic movement. So we have to be really clear and start providing benchmarks and core standards and best practices for what economics is as we move throughout our lives daily.
Okay, listen, thank you for your commentary, and we have Priyanka on the line, but we have to go back to Empress Filet, as her time is limited, as she's doing her blog talk program, A New Day. So, Empress, do you have a closing comment, or can you stay with us a little longer?
Well, I'm going to stay with you a little longer, but I do have a comment, because I just wanted to clarify something that in what the first brother said, and before I do that, I thank Dr. Maurice for his comments as well. But I just want to clarify something, and I mentioned it earlier today, and that is that we have to think simultaneously. We have to act ambidextrously. And so what I mean by that is this. You see, I've written several books, which I have not published yet, because I don't feel it's time to do so. But what I have done was to demonstrate some of what I think, or what we might call theories or concepts. And while I agree that we, for me, I mean, the only way I can think is black, for real. I mean, I can deal with other thought processes when I have to, but for the most part, I'm going to always think and function out of a paradigm that is black. And I said the word black. I didn't say African. I said black. But again, this means that I have to be able to do both of these things, meaning I know when to utilize that word African. I know when to utilize that word black. And if we're going to talk about economics and finances, then you understand the word black being very significant, you see. And so I merely suggest that in studying, again, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Madam C.J. Walker, in listening to the wordings, when you talk about, you know, do things from a black perspective or from a focus or context that it's ours, well, okay, I know that that's what I did to create the Million Woman March. So rather than to think about something, I had to figure out how to do it, how to make that manifest, based on concepts and research, and then taking that and applying it, and then let's see what works. Now, of course, it didn't all turn out the way I had hoped, but certain parts of it worked exactly the way it was supposed to, and it allowed for further growth and development, which is now what is occurring, as Dr. Maurice alluded to, in us now talking with Benin, getting ready to talk with Ghana, and so forth and so on. But as it pertains to here, we are, unfortunately, again, to me, we get stuck. And again, I don't say don't utilize certain terms or don't think a certain kind of way. I'm just saying don't get stuck there. As the brother indicated, and he's correct, it came out of a thought processing, meaning economics, that was more from a philosophical standpoint. As I said to people earlier today, my first field of study was religion. And if anyone is familiar with it as a study, theology, then what you know is dealing with philosophy is the key thing. So I'm very clear about that. But I'm also clear about this, that there are many other things that came out of both of these schools of thought. And in studying it from a committed frame of reference, I've realized that it behooves us today to define things for ourselves in the way that we want to define it. So this is what I was really suggesting. When you break down the word economics, the prefix to that is eco or echo, E-C-O, which is also applied to many other things. So now what makes nomics so much to do with goods, services, and money? You see? So I'm merely suggesting that rather than we just always go for the okey-doke, we need to at least take the time to really examine. And again, I don't say don't engage in it. No. But when you have a better understanding of something, then whichever game you want to play with it, you want to play your game. But I dare say, as the brother indicated, it started off in the early 20th century. Well, we're now in the 21st century, and we see what's happening with the economy. It ain't working for nobody. Well, I ain't going to say that. But the bottom line is whatever was going on before ain't going on now. And what that suggests is we've got to begin to come up with additional concepts, strategies, and other types of approaches and methodologies. And so it doesn't mean, again, that I'm, you know, saying, well, we should totally avoid, you know, the word or the definition that's given to us. I'm not saying that. I'm merely saying we need to apply our African geniusness in all across the board in a more holistic manner, you see, so that we can better connect the dots. When I started coming up in the struggle, the buzzword at that time was economic development. And I was given an impression of something that I thought this is what it was based on, you know, what people were telling me and, you know, this, that. But then began to realize that's not what it was at all. And it certainly didn't lend to being independent, as with those who have come before us to talk about self-sufficiency, self-determination, self-reliance. And I'm sure there's other, you know, words that we adjectives that we can use, but the bottom line is we do not have to continue to utilize the same concepts in things, and it is just, I think, important that we begin to change it up some, and with that we will maybe get an enemy a better run for their money.
All right. Thank you. Let me go to this message, and we'll go to
You're listening to the Legacy of a Nation radio program, heard 7 days a week on Blog Talk Radio. This program is brought to you in kind by the following supporters. Atia Ola's Cafe, vegan, vegetarian, and raw food, located at 4505 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Call 215-939-3298 for daily specials.
The Lest We Forget Slavery Museum and Traveling Exhibit, located at 365 Richmond Street in Philadelphia. Call 215-205-4324. Self-Determination Saturdays at the Songhai City Cultural Center. Arts, culture, lectures, vendors, and food. Visit songhaicity.net or call 215-236-0782. Affordable webmercials for small businesses. Search for us on Facebook. Promote your product, business, or event with an affordable webmercial starting as low as $125. Call 888-532-6099. That's 888-532-6099. Bug Plus All Natural Contact Spray. Get rid of those pests. Use responsibly and enjoy a bug-free home. Search for Bug Plus on Facebook. Email bug.plus@yahoo.com or call 267-444-7938. Become a sponsor of the Legacy of a Nation radio program by emailing Brother Ramesses at legacyofanation@yahoo.com or by searching for Legacy of a Nation on Facebook. Now back to the Legacy of a Nation radio program.
All right, welcome back to The Legacy of a Nation. Well, we're going to hear from Brother Maurice White and then Brother Piazza when Maurice finishes. Maurice?
How are you doing? I appreciate everything that the sister said and everything that was said by a prior guest. I think that the problem that we have is, the one I want to focus on now is that we have to be very practical, yet we have to think new thoughts. The challenge is we have people we have to feed and clothe and house and be self-reliant and self-productive and all of those things. Yet the thoughts behind that have to be a new kind of thought. We can't do it in such a way that it was done in the past. And we have to be, if we're going to draw from the past, we have to understand what happened so that we don't repeat the mistakes that our ancestors made. Our ancestors lived so that we may learn from them. So we have to learn those lessons. So at this point, where we are right now is that whomever is interested in these issues, the development of black folks, African Americans, whatever word, and I'm always interested in how people use words. I mean, we think in English. We speak English. That's not an African language. And the African that we think we know was translated by some other European. So in order to get back to how our African ancestors thought, we're going to have to study new things, ask different kind of questions, and not take for rote what's already been written by even black historians, because their sources are generally white historians. Or, if you want to go back to the seminal source, the Rosetta Stone, and those translation devices that were found around the same time as the Rosetta Stone. So, yes, we have to think new thoughts, but we have some practical work that we have to do. So wherever we are, Booker T. Washington, cast down, do it now. We have to start wherever we are and get to work. Now, the theory, the practice, the philosophy, oh, we African-Americans have so many different thoughts. And okay, but the bottom line is, what about the work? What about the work? And that's the necessity right now. People are in distress right this minute. What are we doing to address those problems? That's the question I ask. Yes, we have to do all the things that the brothers and the sisters have said, but we also have to get to work right now to solve our own problems, because nobody else is going to solve those problems to our satisfaction for us.
Brother Ramesses, can I just have 2 minutes to invite the brother to something that addresses what he just said, and I mentioned it earlier today. Brother, I hope you will join us on August the 31st. When we have our founding convention for the BBB Co. And the BBB Co is a tribute, but a action tribute. We call it a direct action tribute. So this is philosophy applied to reality and practicality. The BBB Co is a membership component now under the MWM umbrella that consists of beauticians B, barbers B, braiders B, co-cosmetologists. So we now are tapping into, on a national level, black folks who are in this field, who are in our communities nationwide. The criteria for them becoming a member is that they want to do something in their community or the community that they grew up in. Now, we're hosting this activity on August the 31st because Madam C.J. Walker did, in fact, hold the first Beauty Culturalist Convention here in Philadelphia on August the 31st in 1917, where she taught the women business, sales, marketing, and so forth. So now our plan is to be able to hire some of our women. That my forte is women. Of course, we will include our family, entire family, ultimately. But for right now, we will be able to hire mothers who may not be able to work or may not be able to find a job or whatever. They'll be able to sell roughly 25 products that we have gathered nationwide, made by black folks, natural products for the hair and skin. Now, we have women who will be able to sell these products by having their own You Move parties at their home or in their church or in the rec center to be able to generate those dollars nationally. So I'm saying that to say we've done what you just said and then some.
Okay. Thank you. Listen, make sure you put out that contact information. And then we're going to go to Brother Pianca, I do believe. Empress, are you still there for your contact information?
Yes. I thought you were going to go to the brother. Yes. Oh, yeah. Contact information is nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can reach me at 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802.
All right, thank you. We're going to go to this message, and then we're coming back to Brother Pianca.
You're listening to the Legacy of a Nation radio program, heard 7 days a week on Blog Talk Radio. This program is brought to you in kind by the following supporters: Atia Ola's Cafe, vegan, vegetarian, and raw food, located at 4505 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Call 215-939-3298 for daily specials. The Lest We Forget Slavery Museum and Traveling Exhibit, located at 365 Richmond Street in Philadelphia. Call 215-205-4324. Self-Determination Saturdays at the Songhai City Cultural Center. Arts, culture, lectures, vendors, and food. Visit songhaicity.net or call 215-236-0782. Affordable webmercials for small businesses. Search for us on Facebook. Promote your product, business, or event with an affordable webmercial starting as low as $125. Call 888-532-6099. That's 888-532-6099. Bug Plus All Natural Contact Spray. Get rid of those pests. Use responsibly and enjoy a bug-free home. Search for Bug Plus on Facebook. Email bug.plus@yahoo.com or call 267-444-7938. Become a sponsor of the Legacy of a Nation radio program by emailing Brother Ramesus at legacyofanation@yahoo.com or by searching for Legacy of a Nation on Facebook. Now back to the Legacy of a Nation radio program.
All right, welcome back to The Legacy of a Nation, where in 15 minutes we're going to open the call lines to the rest of the callers, but we do have to make sure that we finish up with our guests. So, listeners, please be patient with us, and when we do start, we're going to have to keep it brief because there are a number of callers online. All right, Brother Pianca.
Hello, Ramesses, how are you?
Well, state your strong position now. You have the opportunity.
Well, I was going to, you know, I was listening to the conversation and doing some multitasking. But one thing that disturbs me is when people down corporations. Corporations is a good thing. Very, very good thing. And how everyone said it once was used is not that which counts. It counts on how you use them today. Blacks use corporations as non-for-profits rather than for-profits. That's a heck of a phenomenon. And how else can you deal in today's business world if not by a corporation. One of the simplest things is that the tax rate is from 0 to 35%. There's nothing wrong with not paying taxes. That's something that everybody should try to thrive to do, as least amount as you possibly can. So, and another thing, you know, I was talking to a lady, Ramsey, on a blog talk show who's coming out of Detroit because Detroit is dead. She moved down in Florida. And she's talking about the very thing that I've heard being spoken about here. The fact is that blacks don't control their own economy. And in these cities where they are, the money that's being disseminated in your public schools, for one, being disseminated toward the purchase of gasoline and being disseminated for the purchase of food, those are the things that you're supposed to be controlling. Public school budget, blacks don't control that. At one time they did, but they don't control none of it. Now, you got to draw a line in the sand and say, this is what it's going to be. Put your foot down. If your foot is a big 12 or 13 or 14 like Ramesses, it would make a very big imprint. But, no, that's all I had to say. There's nothing wrong with corporations. They're beautiful. Your corporation and Ramsey, your American status is the best two things you got going on for you right now if you're going to do some serious business in this world.
Well, that's Tianca's comment, and I might go back to my other statements, but not yet. Okay, Brother Maurice.
Now, you know what, can I hear some more from some of the callers? Is that possible? I want to see what other folks have said. Is that possible?
You want to do what?
Hear more from some more callers.
It will be in just a second. Now, some of people, no, they may have just moved in on the call. Okay, listen, Brother Maurice White, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and Dr. Henderson, that was you asking to hear from other callers, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, let Brother Maurice make his statement. Let me also check with Empress, because like I say, her timing is within the confounds of a new day resurrection, and then we can go to the callers. We got 11 minutes into our second hour before we go to the latter hour, which I'm opening up all phone lines. All right, Brother Maurice.
Yes, sir.
You care to respond to Bianca's statement about thing or bad thing?
Here's what I have to say: by any means necessary. Now, we have to use all means available. We shouldn't reject any means until we've studied it and seen that it won't work. So now, when brothers. You know, I always hesitate to talk about things. When someone says to be an American corporation is the best thing to be to do business in the world, a part of me cringes, but I lived in Africa for 6 years and did business, okay? And I did business as an African-American. So I will say this. In Africa, in the Middle East, in Europe, it is great to be an African American. And in those same places where it was not great to be an African, it was great to be an African American business person. But I don't think that what Brother Pianchi was referring to is what I'm referring to. we use corporations for our own benefit. If it doesn't benefit us, we use another form. The point that we need to do is what the sister said, is that we have to develop our own models after our own thought processes to see if these things are in our own interest. And there are times and forms where an American corporation is very beneficial, not always, not all times. And I need to correct some historical things. You talk about the charter and corporations and all of that. Well, the Dutch East Indies Company was one of the major corporations responsible for slavery. They were chartered by the Queen of England. to engage in slavery, and it was for the benefit of the Queen of England and not for the benefit of the community. So when we start talking about the origin of corporations and these kinds of things, we need to make historical corrections so that we know what we're dealing with. But there's, you know, there are times and places where corporations are beneficial and they provide some legal protection and some legal cover. And what has to happen is for each enterprise that you want to engage in, you have to determine for your own point of view what is the best format in which to conduct your enterprise. And a corporation will certainly be one of the tools that you have to change to make it fit the solution that you're trying to accomplish. So when we talk about the focus on nonprofit, you know, Brother Bianchi knows history a lot better than he lets on sometimes. So he knows about the fact that there are a number of black corporations out there doing some things. One of the problems is that some of these corporations we lose control over. Reginald Lewis's corporation, at the time that he was head of it, now he may not have had the values of some of the people on this program, but after he died, it reverted back to a white corporation. So we have to be very analytical and analyze it from a truly Afrocentric point of view. When I say truly, we have to tell the truth, and when we tell the truth, we find out that we do have genius, but we also have to tell the truth and say that we do have people who work against our interests. That shouldn't deter us from doing the right thing, because when you do the right thing, you have the Almighty on your side and the forces of the universe will line up behind you. So, yes, there are times and places where being an American corporation works. And if you haven't lived overseas and seen it, then don't talk about it. I've lived it and seen it, so yes, it's beneficial, but not necessarily for the reasons that people might think. It is great to be an African American because an African American is respected in all of the 17 countries that I've been in. Now, if we go there as an ugly American, then we will lose that respect. But if we go there as an African-American concerned about the global issues in African development and African-American development, we will be welcomed as the brothers and sisters we are.
Okay. Hey, greatly appreciated. Empress, we're going to go to our message, and then we're going to come back to you, and then we're going to go to Brother Tianca one more time.
Okay, you do a lot of
You're listening to the Legacy of a Nation radio program, heard 7 days a week on Blog Talk Radio. This program is brought to you in kind by the following supporters. Atia Ola's Cafe, vegan, vegetarian, and raw food, located at 4505 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia. Open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Call 215-939-3298 for daily specials. The Less We Forget Slavery Museum and Traveling Exhibit, located at 365 Richmond Street in Philadelphia. Call 215-205-4324. Self-Determination Saturdays at the Songhai City Cultural Center. Arts, culture, lectures, vendors, and food. Visit songhaicity.net or call 215-236-0782. Affordable webmercials for small businesses. Search for us on Facebook. Promote your product, business, or event with an affordable webmercial starting as low as $125. Call 888-532-6099. That's 888-532-6099. Bug Plus All Natural Contact Spray. Get rid of those pests. Use responsibly and enjoy a bug-free home. Search for Bug Plus on Facebook. Email bug.plus@yahoo.com or call 267-444-7938. Become a sponsor of the Legacy of a Nation radio program by emailing Brother Ramesses at legacyofanation@yahoo.com or by searching for Legacy of a Nation on Facebook. Now back to the Legacy of a Nation radio program.
All right, welcome back to the Legacy of a Nation, where we need your sponsorship. Well, let's go to Empress as a new day will be calling her attention. Empress?
All right. Give thanks. Give thanks. Well, I just want to say Ashe for the brother. His comments I felt were, you know, just really on point, and I certainly appreciated those remarks and the idea from which it came from. I just want to say that I agree very much with what he said, especially in regards to how we do things when we go to Africa, if we do that in the type of mindset that represents our genuineness, then certainly, at least my experience has also been, you would be received as well. The thing that I do want to also say is that, okay, there's a lot of stuff going on there. Okay. The other thing I wanted to add is that, you know, unfortunately for some, or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, we have to be trailblazers. And what that means is, you know, things happen when sometimes people struggle, for lack of a better word, to make them happen. So my example is, at some point we were called Negroes in this country, and then somehow we became African Americans. Well, I propose to our people that we now go to the next level, and that we begin to call ourselves African North Americans, because for me, to say I'm American, it has such a tarnish. It has such a stain. And it represents things, again, a concept, a modality, a way of being, a way of thinking. So now, this is all, you know, debatable, and certainly it's just for dialogue and to assess, to evaluate. But one of the things that I'm planning to do as I proceed in the UN, which I've been now for the past couple of years, is to at least have this dialogue. We want to start this dialogue. We want to see what the responses are, meaning we're the only people in this country of the USA that has the type of position that we have, which is, of course, the majority of us being brought here, et cetera, et cetera. So now why should we just keep the same type of whatever that everyone else has, except the so-called Indians, or some call them indigenous? The bottom line is, when do we assert what we want to be called and how we want to be called for real? And I don't mean from some reactionary mode. I mean from really thinking about it. We are in a land mass, and that land mass is called North America. Okay, so rather than to identify ourselves with a government per se, why could we not identify us with a landmass? We're in North America. Why can't we deal with this in the way of, we are coming from a level that represents the geography of it? Now, again, this is kind of a new concept, and this is how things happen. People talk about new concepts, and sometimes it works. But at least it gets the ball rolling. And so I'm saying again, I don't want to be called African American. Now, of course, I know going in certain circles, as the brother indicated, you got to deal with the reality of what is. But I'm always one where if I don't like something, I'm going to see what I can do about it. Now, I'm dealing with it for right now because I have to for whatever reason. But simultaneously, I'm going to be working on, now, how am I going to change that? So, again, one of the things we'll be doing in October when we have our Black Women's Power Convention here in Philadelphia, we're going to begin to have this kind of dialogue, a think tank, to see what we come up with. I would rather identify with this beautiful land and put the whole scope of what happened in this region, in this land, as opposed to I'm one of these people right here. But it's up to us to declare and to demand how we want to proceed in the next generations or and so forth and so on. Lastly, as we talk about corporations, of course they exist, of course they function the way they do, especially in commerce, but to assert other, again, modalities such as we can become a society. We do not have to always be locked in the same kind of way that everything else is being done. Of course, we have to do it to some degree, but I'm saying again, you begin to create the liberation of the mind
and of the being, when in fact you do things that begin to take you closer and closer and closer to the real goal and objective. And for me, we're not really doing that. We're not really challenging this system. We're going along with the whole skutmukabango or whatever it is. We're going along with it all. And again, I understand we're caught in the catch-22, so yes, we do have to deal with some of this stuff. But I'm saying we're not putting up the type of dialogue slash opposition to begin to have people even think more about, well, wait a minute, do we have to keep doing this like that? So I thank both brothers for their comment and for Dr. Maurice and for all the folks that are listening, because this is really a very, very good dialogue, and I certainly appreciate it. Are you there?
Empress, can you hear me now?
I'm sorry.
All right.
I thought you were gone for a moment. Okay.
What happens is for quality sound, I put the phone on mute, and so when you said, can you hear me, I started talking.
Okay.
To you. All right. Okay, well, let's see. Priyanka, do you want to make any kind of a statement?
The thing is, on the corporations, no bank's gonna lend no individual no money. Your general liability and your work comp is not gonna be written to no individual. It's got to be written to a corporation. No insurance company, if you manufacture and produce overseas like you should be done, you can't produce nothing in America and compete against China. $32 an hour average in America is not gonna compete against $1.62 an hour in China, Indonesia, and Taiwan. If you manufacture and produce in West Africa, well, you being an American corporation, you got the world's best blue seas navy that will protect your goods as they travel overseas. You have the world's best air force that will protect your goods as they fly through the air. Lloyd's of London is not going to insure your goods if you are called Black Hebrew Israelites, or if you call Moors. They will insure your goods if you are a United States corporation, though. So, you know, we say a lot of things that sound good and make us feel good, but in practical reality, it ain't going to happen. That is, if you really want to start thinking critical and competing. You know, we like to talk about white supremacy, but we don't want to compete against white supremacy. They're just people. They can be competed against. I know that Jake Simmons used to be one of the most outstanding all men and black all men in the world, but why can't we not competing with your Exxons and your Shells and your Tuffalos today? Nigeria controlled 22% of the world's offshore oil drilling. That's a black nation. Where is black Americans in that scenario? Why can't we not competing with them? Why can't we not using our affirmative action benefits, our access to patents, being that we're United States citizens, our access of, and another point too, if we have a business in Africa, you got Africon there who will protect you, supposed to protect you, because you're a United States corporation. So we would like to have the privileges of being able to control and protect ourselves, but that's not possible now. We can't even control the store on the corner in our neighborhoods. That's controlled by somebody who came from 12 time zones away. And they've been schooled very well on how to smile when you give them their money. So all these things sound good, Ramesses, but when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, you're going to be shedding a whole lot of stuff, like shedding winter clothes on a 110-degree day.
Well, you know, I would only say to that, I love when people say something can't be done, because I've been one to prove that they're wrong. And I also say that things change. I certainly suggest we compete, but it is evident that there definitely needs to be a revolution in mind. And with that said, you know, some don't necessarily just talk about good ideas or things that they want to see, they really do work towards making them happen. But I love the naysayers. I love the people who say, well, that can't happen, that can't happen. You know, on my recent trip to Benin, I had no idea that, even though it was discussed, I had no idea that I would be awarded citizenship. And so, you know, there are people who will say, well, you can't do that. Again, I love people to say what I can't do and what others can't do. It definitely is not something that is discouraging. It just lets us know that we have more work ahead of us than we may think. But I don't believe we're really so much as disagreeing as it is that, you know, sometimes there is an epoch that must come into existence, and I think that time is definitely being shown in nature and in other ways. And there comes a time when things do have to move to the next level, and I suspect that that is happening. So I don't know, well, you know, I do know Hebrew Israelites, and I do know Moorish people as well. But what I also know is that unless people strive towards change, then they are destined to be annihilated.
And, you know, you mentioned something, too, about dual citizenship. I hear that's talked
a
lot.
No, I didn't say dual citizenship. I actually didn't. If
well,
you notice, I never said dual citizenship.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, I hear people talking about dual citizenship with African country. United
mm-hmm.
States don't recognize dual citizenship. Matter of fact, if you pursue becoming a citizen of another country while you still hold your United States citizenship, the State Department can, you know, renounce you, per se.
Absolutely. And see, this is why, again, I say that it's important that we begin to take our issues and concerns into international circles to have this type of dialogue, because we are dealing with a circumstance that is a little different, I dare say a little different, but certainly much more than a little different from anything that anyone else can talk about in this country. So, again, while some things may sound far-fetched for some, I'm sure there are many things that sounded far-fetched for many at some point in time, but nevertheless happened. I'm sure people were talking about revolution for this country. There was some who were saying, oh, no, you can't do that.
Well, you know, another point, too, you mentioned about people should give up their U.S. Census classification. But if
no,
you
I
do
did
that,
not.
Then
just... I never said they should give it up. That's not what
well,
I said.
Being called something else, right? So if
no.
you're going to call yourself, if we're going to call ourselves Africans or North Americans, is that what you said?
Yeah, more or less.
That,
I'm
then that would have to
just,
be that would have to be a checkoff on the U.S. Census, correct?
Well,
and when you
I mean,
further,
at some point we were called at some point we
let
were called
finish.
Negroes
well, let
on
me
the
finish.
Census.
Let
that
me
got
finish.
Changed, right?
Let me finish. They still have that on there. It was on there in 2010. But every time
okay,
that you
but at some point
yourself,
it wasn't. Is that correct or not? At some point, Negro was not on the census. Is that correct or not?
The first census that they had, I think they did have Negro on it. I think it goes
That's
back to about 1860.
At some
but there,
point,
me,
it was not
let me,
on the census.
Let me get around to my what I'm trying
okay.
to say is that when you further
sure.
divide your ethnic group, then you're dividing your numbers and you're making your numbers weaker when it comes down to allocations, especially, you know, numbers here in the United States equates to dollars. And when we go from African American, then when we go to black, and you allow people to rather check an African American, they check black. Well, if you had a total of 40 million, now you got 15 million black and you got, what, 25 million African American. So you have just decreased a lot of your power.
But first, my brother, before even going into that direction, for example, to organize to the level to hold a plebiscite, to begin to even structure this stuff in such a way where it would become more of a consensus of, at some point again, we were called Negro, and then someone decided to be called African American. But I'm saying again, who made that decision? And are you saying that we would never have the ability to collectively give ourselves a name that we want to have?
You know what makes it? Now you can have, you can choose among you and vote yourself to be president of whatever and have your pleasure sites. But the United States do not permit a sub nation within this country. And there's been instances where they went after some people and they went after them very hard. But there's nothing wrong with doing that because I can't think of the name of the group. Maybe Ramsey can help me. Alvin Brown and so forth. They have plebiscites all the time. But until blacks in America become an economic power, no one's not going to pay very much attention to them. We would never get reparations, begging for reparations from a weak position. You have to have something to leverage. And apparently now we do not have anything to leverage. We are right neck and neck with the Latinos who are about ready to pass us up, and that just leaves us sitting on top of the Native Americans. So those things have to be worked out first, I would think. People, I mean, coming to people from a weak position, they don't respect you. And we complain about that all the time, but not being respected. We're not respected by the media because we don't have businesses that's buying and paying for advertising. One of the reasons why come Rush Limbaugh changed his tune, because he lost 37 advertisers. Now, what can blacks do when a news media come out and say something derogatory about them, other than holler racism? Let's be factual here and be real and use some reality. And I'm not arguing.
No doubt.
I'm just totally agree.
Oh yeah, I mean, I agree. In this present structure, I mean, there's no argument there. It is what it is. But what I'm merely saying is, at some point in time, and this is what we must at least make an attempt to do in changing the paradigm. I am in no way suggesting that this is what we should do right now, and that's not what I'm saying. But to become a fatalist, or to say that, well, this can never happen, or yes, we're very clear that they own and operate everything presently. That's more than obvious. But to stay in that mindset as if that's all it's going to ever be, and therefore our attempts to change, to shift it even, to even if it's an inkling, that's a step. But see, when we begin to hear this dialogue of, oh no, it's this way, it's gonna be that way, that is very defeatist minded as far as I'm concerned. And when I hear that, it lets me know that the American dream remains the nightmare, more so not because it's really perpetuated in the way that it is that we often see, but because we still have so many people also pushing that line for them. So I'm very realistic. You know, I can't speak for anyone else beyond a certain point, but I'll definitely speak for me and make it very clear, okay, because I've done certain things to prove that even though it's just an inkling and a step, it is a step. Now, other people can philosophize all they want to, and I appreciate that because I like a good philosophy story. But I also like some action. And when I hear people talking about what we can't do, what we don't do, or whatever, and not hear, well, how are you proposing that we do it? Because I am not hearing that.
Well, if it was up to me, I'd let black people have their Jesus, and I would let them be determined themselves what they want to call. Well, most blacks don't even want to be called African Americans. They rather be called Americans. But the thing is, and that's a fact.
I wonder why.
But the thing is that, well, they're Americans, and that's the way they feel. I believe it or not, we may call it a nightmare, but it's the best show that's playing at this particular time in America. I mean, in the world, is that you are a black person that's located in the United States of America, based on what we know and what we can do. But here's another thing, and it sort of slipped my mind. But I'm just saying is that the economics, the control of the economics, especially the control of the things that we consume, is the major thing that we should be concentrating on. Blacks are moving back to the South, which is a good thing. In Mississippi, there's 18 counties that's majority black. on both sides of the Mississippi River. Those there are markets. They're just not poverty or ghetto centers. They are markets that we should be exploiting for the benefit of ourselves as a whole, providing jobs, providing opportunities for our children, controlling the school system. Why can't we not control those lunch programs in those public schools? Why do we let others come in and take control of that? We should be controlling those things.
See, for me, again, I'm about attempting to build our own school, and that's where I'm at with that. But what I will also say is the lesser of two evils still don't mean it's a good thing. And with that said, I've really got to go. My time is up for my radio program. We're almost up. But again, I definitely thank all of you for your comments and remarks and input. Brother Ramasu, thank you for inviting me on this show. And I'm happy to meet Brother Maurice. And, of course, I already know Dr. Maurice, who's one of our brothers. But, again, different strokes for different folks. What can I say? I mean, we all can't do the same thing, fortunately, and shouldn't. So, I applaud whatever work our people do that works. And, for the rest, I can say something else about that for another time. But the bottom line is, there has to be some who are daring enough who are not going to, remain stuck on stupid or on any kind of concept that holds us back, impedes progress. And it's unfortunate that we're still in this day and age when we have people who, in many instances, demonstrate the possibilities or articulate the possibilities and things, rather than to motivate them further or to attempt to support what we oftentimes find ourselves doing, or I will say we, what people oftentimes end up doing is, trying to figure out, how to either slow them down or keep them from doing it or whatever. So, again, I am very thankful that those of you who are tuned to this radio program, certainly you are doing so because you do care. And for those who feel more motivated to do more than just care, I applaud you and thank you as well. So, Brother Ramatooth, I have got to go. I've got, some stuff that I've got to do for tomorrow. And we will, I'm sure, continue on with this dialogue at another time.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Okay.
Peace to you.
Now, brother, this is Dr. Henson. I've got to get ready to sign off. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. I want her to tell people how to tune into A New Day, please.
Oh, yes. We're here every Saturday night, usually. Sometimes we do special editions, but our main day or evening is Saturday evenings at 10:30 p.m. We've been on now consistently for over 4 years because we believe that we must stay consistent in our work. And so we're here every week, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, I can be reached at area code 267-636-3802 or at nationalmwm@aol.com.
All right. Listen, thank you for joining us. Thank you for using New Day to connect with The Legacy of a Nation. We greatly appreciate you, and we look for you next weekend at the Shanghai Cultural Center.
Absolutely. Thank you, my brothers. Peace to you.
Okay. Dr. Henderson.
Yes, as I'm about.
Okay, family. Well, we are getting ready to close out our show for this evening as well. I hope you all enjoyed it. I certainly did. Oh, wow. It's so interesting. But, it is what it is. But unfortunately, Queen Mother Dr. Doris Blakely was not able to join us tonight. I'm sure it is because she is caught where she was initially supposed to be, which was out of range, actually. She did tell me she was going somewhere. And, we were hoping that she would be able to find a location where she could have reception. But the area that she's in, she's probably not able to get good reception to call out. But, Queen Mother will be with us. There's no question about that. She's been on the program many times and will certainly be returning. So at any rate, I think we did Queen Mother Moore well tonight. I think having this dialogue is something that she would be saying, go ahead, children, go ahead, you know. At least I hope so. But this is what we must continue to do. There are going to always be those who want to make it seem like you can't do this and you shouldn't do that and all of that to just make sure the system keeps going and doing the same thing that it's been doing. Well, I dare say there's going to always be resistance because our people will never, ever settle for this. One of the things I remember Sister Ramona saying, and she said, just because it's legal, don't make it right. And it is no doubt. Just because being here in the U.S. is more advantageous than being somewhere else, don't make it the best thing, you know. So we've got a lot more to do and a lot more to say and a lot more to learn. And so, again, until next Saturday, we hope that you have a blessed week. And we certainly look forward to having you back next week joining us. Please continue to pass the word. And we will certainly continue to do the work that we have definitely been designated to do. It's becoming more and more obvious to me. I'm hoping it's becoming more and more obvious to you. And as a result, that you will support the Million Woman Movement now. We will be having our website up very, very shortly. Please make certain that you become a support member. If you don't want to be actively involved, it's cool. Be a support member. We would very much appreciate it. We're doing a lot of work on this end, and we're going to do it either way. Don't get me wrong, but certainly, you know, support would be helpful. So until next week, we are going to leave you with the thought that we oftentimes greet you with, and that is, of course, with Ma'at and Hotep. We always say that as we strive for peace, as we strive for Hotep, we know that there certainly cannot be any real peace until there's truly Ma'at, until there's truly truth, balance, and certainly justice. So until next week, family, we thank you all again for tuning in, and we definitely look forward to connecting with you again next week. Next week, I think we will be talking with Brother Moses, who will be telling us some things about what's going on in rebuilding Liberia. Okay, so until next week, again, we thank all of you, and we say, remember, we strive now in the best of ways, in the fullest of ways, and certainly holistically, for the attainment of power, prosperity, and peace. But remember, there can be no peace without justice. Until next week, family, two time out.